Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Chapter 14 of Acts starts out with this. As they entered the Jewish, in Iconium, they entered the Jewish synagogue, as usual, and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Which, I don't know if Jonathan pointed this out, but I love this. Talks about they're there, they're doing God's work, they're evangelizing. And then these other Jews come in and they're poisoning the mind. And then there's some other scriptures that said, so they took off, went to another town, shook the dust off. Sometimes it says that. This time it says, so they stayed a long time and spoke boldly in the Lord, who testified to the message of his grace by enabling them to do signs and wonders. But the people of the city were divided, some siding with the Jews and others with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian towns of Lystra, Derbe, and the surrounding countryside. There they continued preaching the gospel. In Lystra, a man was sitting who was without strength in his feet, had never walked, and had been lame from birth. He listened as Paul spoke. After looking directly at him and seeing he had the faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he jumped up and began to walk around. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted, saying in a Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside town, brought bulls and wreaths to the gate, because he intended, with the crowds, to offer sacrifice. The apostles Barnabas and Paul tore their robes when they heard this and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "People, why are you doing these things? We are people also just like you. And we are proclaiming the good news to you that you turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In past generations, he allowed the nations to go their own way, although he did not leave himself without a witness. He did not leave himself without a witness, since he did what is good by giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling you with food and your hearts with joy." And even though they said these things, they barely stopped the crowds from sacrificing to them. Some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won them over. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. And after disciples gathered around him, he got up and went into town. And the next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Verse 21, this is our focus for today. After they had preached the gospel in that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it's necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And after they had spoke the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah. And from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. After they arrived and gathered the church, they reported everything God had done with them at the disciples. Let's pray. God, we're thankful that you've preserved your word, these stories, and that your spirit, that this word is living and your spirit lives in us, moving and convicting us. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. We love you, God, in your name. Amen. So here's Paul's story. Just before this. Well, here's Paul's story. He's raised at the feet of Gamaliel as a Pharisee in Jerusalem. He's a Roman citizen, but he's Jewish. He was one of the smartest of the young men, and so he got we hear from Gamaliel earlier in Acts. But he's zealous. He has his thing. He's this Pharisee, so he's zealous. So he goes out and he persecutes those who he believes are teaching something that is against what he believes. And that is that they're preaching that the Messiah has come in the form of this person named Jesus, that he was God in human form. He died, rose again to save humanity. And Paul said that is not correct according to Scripture. And since you're teaching this, we're going to make sure that you don't poison our beliefs. And so he got letters from the chief priest to go out and to arrest and to bring back for trial believers. And this persecution breaks out against the church. Paul is at the center of it. And so this is his story. Until, as he's traveling to Damascus with this same intent, God blinds him with his light, speaks to him and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And we get various different stories that Paul tells about what he hears. And one, why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing these things that are not in line with the Spirit of God? This is true and I am truth. And when that kind of thing happens, you believe it. Okay? Some of us wish that that type of experience had happened because we still have doubts. And remember what Paul told Thomas. You're blessed because you're seeing this. How much more blessed are those who are going to believe without seeing? And we are caught in that. We don't see. But the beautiful thing is Jesus, when he came, the kingdom of God broke in. And it's not here all the time. Already, always, that is still to come, and we will one day see fully, but we are seeing pieces and glimpses of God's Spirit moving, like this event with Paul on the road to Damascus. Like God speaking to Ananias, saying, hey, Paul's in this house, I want you to go to him. And so he goes and says, I'm looking for Paul because God sent me here. And he lays hands on him, and something like scales fall off Paul's eyes. Paul believes, is baptized, and goes into the synagogues and begins to teach what he now correctly knows, or now believes, that Jesus was the Son of God. And he begins to send this out, right? But he kind of finds his way back home to Tarsus, and he's just hanging out there. Meanwhile, the Spirit of God is being poured out through the disciples and through those who are working with them in Jerusalem. One of those guys is a guy by the name of Barnabas. And as the Spirit of God is moving in a town, they send Barnabas to say, go check it out. We kind of want a report of what's happening. He goes to this town called Antioch. He sees what the Holy Spirit is doing through the believers there. He says, man, I got to get some help with this. God sends him. He goes to Paul. Goes to Tarsus. He finds Paul. He brings him back. And they begin to do ministry there. And the believers explode in number and in power. And they spend a lot of time there until the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, to do my work. They prayed about it. They fasted. They laid hands on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them out. And so Paul and Barnabas, in obedience to God's Spirit, are sent out, and they go to all these different towns, and they evangelize. And you know, it's not always great. It's always great, and it's not always great at the same time, because it's great. The Holy Spirit is working through Paul and Barnabas. People are coming. They're believing. It's causing a ruckus. But then it says the Jews continuously get jealous, and they're after them. So this is where the not-so-great part is. But they didn't care. They're like, we got to do what God's called us to do. So here we are. They try to stone them. They hear of attempts on their life. And so they're constantly kind of moving around. And now in this scripture, we find them going back through all the towns where this had happened, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them and telling them, hey, you're going to have to go through some hard times to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then they finally make it back to the church that sent them out. And they report to these guys all that God had done through them. And can you imagine the joy that happens when you hear that, when you see your brothers and your brothers again, who have been sent out, and they come back to you, and not only are they back, and so you have this kind of you're able to restore this friendship and kind of, you know, rekindle it. And what all is going on there with the, and they're, I'm sure they're thrilled to see their friends again, but also they're even more thrilled to hear what God is doing through them. And so this is where we're at. But there's a couple pieces that we wanted to point out. First off, Paul and Barnabas were on mission. They did not care what happened to them. There was some concern, obviously, because when they heard about different attempts on their life, they left, but it didn't keep them from doing what it was that caused this attempt on their life or this plot for them. And so they would just go to the next town and keep doing it. And then in one of those towns, he was actually stoned. They thought he was dead, so they drug him out, but he wasn't. And so he got up and went back into town, and they left the next day. But they were on mission because they were sent out by this church in Antioch to be obedient to God's Spirit and go and spread this good news that God had already come down in human form. The Messiah had come. His name was Jesus. And he died so that we could be made right with God. And so this news, Paul and Barnabas are commissioned with to go out, and they're on mission. And they're doing a handful of things as they go. They're making disciples. They're sharing this news, and they're making disciples. But then it says this interesting thing. As they go back through these towns, they're strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith. So they're encouraging them to continue in what we've taught you, continue learning, continue growing, continue in this faith and sharing it. And then they tell them, it's necessary to pass through troubles on the way to the kingdom of God. And we were talking about this on Thursday night as we got together with a group of guys here. Because this, if we're honest, doesn't translate very well for us. Because for the majority of those of us who are in this room and those of us who are listening online who believe in Jesus, we haven't had trouble that came because of that belief. Now, certainly we've all had hard things that happen in our life. Most of us have not had trouble that came as a direct result of believing in Jesus. But what Paul was talking to the church in the Middle East at this time, right? And he knew that they would because he had experienced it. And so there's this a little bit of disconnect for us. And it's an interesting thing when you meet someone who has. And I don't know if you've had that privilege. I have. I've had the privilege to worship in communist China. I've had the privilege to worship God with believers in northern India and in southern India, where there's people who want to kill you for your beliefs. Mostly there were Hindus. I've had the privilege to worship God in Russia and in some of the former USSR states, in the, like right after communism lifted in the early 90s. I've had the privilege to worship God in other countries as well. And some of them, they were free. Some of them, they weren't. But the thing that I experienced the most when I went to countries where people were was a deep trust that God was good, that God was going to do what he said he would do. And you don't always get that all the time, like constantly, in places where there isn't that persecution. Because if we're honest, we don't have to trust God that when we walk out the door this morning, we were going to be free to worship. We knew that we were. We didn't have to think about it. But when you're in a situation where you do have to trust that God is going to bring you home that day, free from persecution for worshiping him, and you walk out in that morning, you know that there is a chance that you don't. And so there's this deep abiding trust that God is who he says he is. That doesn't translate all the time. And that's not to knock us. We're hopefully, when you hear that, you don't feel like that's a knock on you. Hopefully it fills you with gratitude to live in a place where you can. because God has blessed us. But we also have to acknowledge that it's not the story for everybody. And Paul is telling these guys, who it wasn't the story for them, hey, if this is the road you want to go down, and I pray that it is, but he did not hide anything. He said, if it's the road you're going to go down, there will be trouble on the way to the kingdom of God. But what they knew and what Paul knew and what we hopefully know as well is the journey is not the prize, right? The kingdom is the prize. The kingdom of God, seeing Jesus face to face, being in his glory, seeing clearly, as Paul said, like, I'm not dimly looking through a mirror anymore. I'm seeing face to face. And they, all this is the prize, not the journey. And they understand that in places where they could be persecuted. And hopefully we understand that too. That as good as life is here, this is not the prize. Thank God. That's right. Kingdom is the prize. And that's what we get to go and display before other people, is the kingdom of God. We get to love where there is not love. We get to fix where there is brokenness. And we don't do it ourselves. God does it through us. Last week, we went and fed 125 brothers and sisters who live on the streets in Greenville. And we saw lots of brokenness and lots of hurt. And it was raining. You know how convicting that is when you're out there in the rain? You're like, man, this is disgusting. I just want to get out of the rain. And then you have that thought, like, I can get out of the rain if I want. I can get in my car. I can drive home. I can get a warm shower. I can put on warm clothes. And that's not everybody's story. And so as believers, we get to go and we get to share the good news. The good news is that one day things will be perfect, even though right now they're not. The kingdom was the prize. The path to the kingdom had troubles, and that wasn't the prize. And Paul knew for them it would be hard, and so he wanted to prepare them. And he wanted to tell them, hey, this is going to be hard, so just be ready. And then it tells us that at the end of this whole thing, they get back to Antioch from the church that had sent them out by God. And here's what it tells us they did in verse 27. After they arrived and gathered the church together. Now, let me just stop there. After they arrived, they went to church. No, they gathered the church together. Church was not a building. Church is the people of God. So after they arrived, they gathered the church together. And then it says, they reported to them everything God had done for them, and that he had helped, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so there is this idea that as they gathered the church was gathered to celebrate and to share in what God was doing as they went out on mission. Jesus told the disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. We are a sent people of God. And Sundays and the times that we gather, even if it's on Tuesdays or whatever, they should be times to hear about what God is doing and to celebrate it and to pray. And so this morning we're going to pray a little bit. And I'd love for you to join me. And I'm going to go ahead and apologize, because this won't translate great for those of you guys who are joining us online, but I would encourage you to pray with us, okay? We have a couple of needs that are in our immediate community. Having these procedures and having this testing done, and there's a lot of anxiety and nervousness through the family until there's some answers, and so we can understand that. And so I'd like us to pray this morning for Dee. And so, would anybody be willing to pray for Dee? Thank you, Deb. So Deb is going to pray for Dee. And we have a lot. So mine and others, and there other people are just sick. There's just a lot of sickness. And I'm not talking like, what Diaz going on. I'm just talking about this normal sickness, whether it be the flu, the cold, viral, whatever. You notice my family's not here this morning. We got that going around. Natalie has seen tons and tons and tons of flu come into her office. I think she said they saw on Monday between 2.5 providers, they saw 140 people or so, which is crazy. If you're not aware, that is wild, and that is a lot, and a lot of it was flu, and so there's a lot of that going around. So would anybody be willing to pray for those who are in our immediate community who are sick? Thank you so much, Sue. And also in that, pray that those who aren't are safeguarded from that. We also want to pray for our friends and family who are living on the streets, whether it's here or other places. I mean, we served about 125 of them last week, but there are others, and there are great needs, especially as the cold weather moves in. Year-round, when the rainy weather moves in, there's always needs. So would anybody be willing to pray for that? Thank you, Michael. And Will, tell me your name again. I'm sorry. Alan. For some reason, I want to say Barry, and I knew that wasn't true. Thank you, Alan. All right. And then I would love for us to pray for the persecuted church. And I will, but would anybody else like to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who do not have the freedom to go to church but still choose to and risk their life and limb for that? Would anybody be willing to pray for that? All right, I will. So, and if the Spirit moves anybody, and so here's what I would ask. I would ask, as we're silent here for a few minutes, I'll begin us in prayer. And then anyone that you have that you would like to pray for, whether it was we talked about now or not, just say it out. If you feel less comfortable saying it out loud and more comfortable saying it privately, that's okay too. We will know when all is silent, that we will wrap it up, and we will just trust that God's Spirit hears all that is within our hearts and minds this morning. So I appreciate you praying with me. I apologize for you joining us online. It will not translate great because we don't have mics for everybody, so you will hear lots of silence. I encourage you during this moment to pray. So join me, please. God, you are good. You love us. You care for us. May we not ever fall into the trap of thinking that your care only extends as far as things are good in our life. And may we not get caught in the trap of thinking that this is the prize. Because you even told us when you walked among us, you said, in this world there will be trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so, God, we know that it won't always be easy, but that you have conquered all, and one day all will be made perfect. One day we will see clearly, even though we see very dimly now. So, God, I pray that you would hear our prayers this morning. God, we lift up our brothers and sisters in other places around the world who do not share the same freedoms that we do, but they still make the decision daily to serve and to follow and to worship you regardless of what it means for them. And so they live differently, and they have to endure things we don't. May we not take for granted what the blessings you have given us and the freedoms you have given us. God, because we know the most important thing, there's a lot we can do, and we can visit, and we can physically help, and we can do a lot physically, God, but the most important thing we can do is pray. Because you are able to do all. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters today and other days throughout the week who gather and worship and celebrate and tell stories of the good things that you've done in their life, and they share you with their friends and their neighbors, and all with the risk that they could find trouble because of that. God, we pray that you continue to give them strength. We pray that you continue to give them boldness God, may they have the same spirit that the church prayed in Acts 4, where they said, consider their threats and give us boldness. God, we pray as they see the threats before them, God, that you would give them boldness to share and to tell your truth, because that's the whole thing that you've given us. You told us just go and make disciples. And you told us how people would know we were disciples and other things, but God, that's the key. We're sharing your good news with others, and so as they go in boldness, God, would you bring fruit to what they are doing. God, you are the God of the harvest. And we pray as they go out that you would send them to the places and where hearts are ready, where the response would be great. May they see the fruit of the labor that you put before them. And those who don't get a chance to see that, God, would you help them to constantly keep their eyes fixed on you? May they not waver in their faith or in their trust. But may they be bold and stand firm, we pray. We pray for your protection in our life this morning. God, in your holy name, thank you for hearing all of our prayers that were spoken out loud and that were spoken silently. We love you, God, in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.